You know, I would like to share a portion I share with the saints in Fort Lauderdale last week. It has something that rested on my mind, and it was so profitable to me that I just want to share it again. Isn't it wonderful how God can take a person out of the house of shame and put them into the hall of fame? As I traveled from different places, different assemblies, if you were to ask me what I see, I would say I see what I would call spiritual drought. Spiritual drought amongst the saints. In Psalms 1, it says that they that meditate upon the Lord, they will bear fruit in their season, and their leaves will not wither. But as I said, I see what I would refer to as a drought. I'm going to talk today about a woman. And whether it's fortunate or unfortunate, we doesn't have her name. She's called by her area in which she lived. So I would like to turn to St. John chapter 4. St. John chapter 4. I really want to start reading from verse 4, but I will just read the chapter, the first couple of verses, and then I'll make my explanation as I go along. St. John chapter 4. It says, "Therefore, when the Lord Jesus knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judah and departed again to Galilee, but he needed go through Samaria." I just pause there, and we will go further in the reading. It says that the Lord Jesus must need go to Judah again. That is to say that he had been there before, but this time he must need go through Samaria. And the reason for that is because there was a woman that he needed to meet. And if there's any here who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, then Jesus is also waiting to meet you, because that's what he delights to do. So he says that, as we read on, but he must need go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." So Jesus, in his manhood, was tired as he traveled. And he came to the well, Jacob's well. And he sat down in the well. And this woman came, Samaritan woman. So maybe the Lord is just speaking to the ladies today. But let's hope that he will also encourage and challenge us as men. It says that she came and Jesus ask her for a drink of water. And we didn't read whether she said yes or no. But what she started was a conversation. She said to him, I read verse 7. He said, and a woman of Samaria came and to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me to drink. For his disciple had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask to drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who is it who says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. I will just explain a little, and then I continue. So he asked her for a drink of water. His disciple had gone away. I am trying to say that from what I gather here is that Jesus sometimes liked to be alone with us. This is how we get to one-on-one. You know, when you're at Bible camp, we try to sometime get a child apart from the crowd just to sit with them one-on-one and have a talk with them. The disciple had gone and Jesus was alone and the woman came. This is what he wanted. And I think it's good for us as believers to have that time when we are alone with him. We learn so much from him. So he said, if you know who it is that asked you, then you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman spring into gear, as it were, because this was a woman that was sort of outcast because of her lifestyle. That is the reason why she were coming there at this time of the day. And so she said, so give me this water. But then she also had something more. She said, the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? He says that the well, sir, is deep, and you don't have anything to draw with. So how are you going to get this water? But you see, Jesus had told her before, if you knew who it is, you would have asked him. And she said, the well is deep. You see, the well is a type of the law. You have to do things to receive. You have to live righteous so as to be righteous. But under grace, we no longer need something to draw the water with, because he gives us righteousness that we might live righteous, so that we can live the righteous law. I'm going to read a couple of verses and then I frame it as I want to get it. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his son and his asses? Couldn't Jesus stop right here and said, yes, I am greater than Jacob? But no, Jesus was seeking a confession. And so the conversation would have to continue. So Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drink this water will thirst again. But whosoever drink the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Sir, the well is deep and you don't have anything to draw with. Where do you get this water from? Because Jesus is saying to her, whosoever drink this water will thirst again. I'm suggesting that the water that Jesus gives does not need anything to draw with. If you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 12, or you can just listen, it's just two verses I'll read here. It says that Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and I'm quite certain, Brother Ken, remember this, we had this in our VBS a few years back. I just read verse 2 and 3. I want verse 3, but I read 2 for a connection. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yahweh the Lord is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. He said, therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the well of salvation. So you don't need anything to draw from the well unless you're going to draw from Jacob's well. And Jesus is saying, if you draw or drink from Jacob's well, you're going to be thirsty again. So is it a question then? Is it the drought that we are experiencing in our assemblies that we've been drawing from the wrong well? We've been drawing from Jacob's well, the natural world, and so therefore we become thirsty? Or are we drawing where we don't really need anything to draw, we only need the Holy Spirit? You know, it's the three first element of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Jesus is saying, or the Lord is saying, you can draw from my well without anything to, because the well is not deep. With joy, you can draw this water. And this is the water that Jesus wants to give, because it is of everlasting value. And if you have this, you will never thirst again. Now, I'm not talking about the physical here. We are talking about the spiritual, because that's what Jesus was really saying. If you draw from the natural, you will always be thirsty. But if you draw from his well, then we are sufficed. And so the conversation went on with the woman. And I wonder, he said that this water that Jesus gave springs up into everlasting life. And when I read it some time ago and pondered it in my mind, I am saying, do I have a spring that is springing up? Or I had a spring that is now blocked up? Because you see, every blocked up is not going to be springing. And if it is blocked up, then maybe it's because we are drawing from the wrong well. And so we need to, as believers, be careful where I am drawing my water from. Where do I get my supply? Is it from, you know, Hollywood and all this, the system of the world? Or am I drawing it from the Lord? But the conversation went on. It says, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. You see, the natural person would always reach for that, the natural thing. She said, you don't have anything to draw with. But when he started to tell her about the water he gave, he said, well, give me this water so that I will not be thirst again. I'm quite certain in her mind she said, yeah, those women who cast me out and I can't come and draw and bring water with them. No, I am alone. I can stay home, relax. Like what the rich man said, I can put up my foot and relax. I don't need to go and draw any more water. because I have it here, I'm not thirsty again. But this is how the natural things. And so Jesus would continue, because Jesus was really seeking a confession from this woman. It's like in the garden when God said to Adam, Adam, where are you? God knew exactly where he was. But God wanted a confession from Adam. And so there are times when God seeks a confession from us. If we think of Ezra and Jeremiah, how they pray to God and cry out that they have sinned. Moses. And there's time when God seeks us to have this confession before him. And the woman said, give me the water that I will not thirst again. I'll come here to draw. I won't need anything. And then Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come again. Then the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have five husbands. And the one whom you now have is not yours, your husband. In that you speak truthfully. And that was the confession. The woman says, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you are truthful. You are honest. Because you have six. And none of them is yours. I love Brother Viv Jans. Said a couple weeks ago down in Fort Lauderdale, he said that this woman at the well had six husbands that could do nothing for her, her six man in her life that could do nothing. But when she met the seventh one, her life was changed. And we're going to see this change that is taking place in this woman. So he says, go call your husband. And she answered truthfully. Then the woman now engaged Jesus further. She said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our father worshipped in this mountain. And you, the Jews, say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the woman engaged him further by saying, I perceive you're a prophet. These things that you're talking about, you're telling me about my life story, then you must be a prophet. And I know that when this one comes, that he's going to tell us all things. But you, the Jew, say that is in the mountain, in Jerusalem, you are to worship. But we worship in the mountain. Jesus is now declaring grace. No longer law. No longer need anything to draw from the well. We can draw with joy. He says to her, he said, the time is coming on right now is when you will neither worship in Jerusalem nor in the mountain. You're going to have to worship from the heart. For the Father is seeking such to worship. And if you're going to worship, you're going to have to worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, when the woman hear that, it struck another nerves. So the woman said to him, you notice she had a lot of conversation. The woman said to him, I know that a Messiah is coming who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus, here is the shakala. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you, I am he. What a revelation. We have one of our brothers in his prayer speak that this is what the Lord Jesus came to do, to reveal who God is and to reveal himself. For God is love. Well, Jesus is now revealing himself to this woman. Man, that was something else. Well, he who is speaking to you, I am he. What a surprise this woman must have had. He said at this point his disciple came and they marveled that he was talking to the woman, but they did not say anything to him. But then when we read verse 28, it said, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Come, could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and come to him. I'm going to just linger here for a little while. It says that after the long conversation, the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming. He is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. If there's none here that are any here who does not know Christ, or those of us who know him, what we need to understand is that he wants to reveal himself to us. So the woman left her water pot and went away into the city. And the water pot was no longer any use to this woman, because the water that she now had would never be able to carry it in the natural container. This water that she has is now within her. This is now springing up into everlasting life. She left her water pot. She left her old self. Why? Because she has something new to bring. And so she left the old self and she has new. You and I, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become new creatures. New people we are. Still housing the same old body for a while, but we are new people. We have new outlook, so we don't need the old water pot. She left her old water pot and she went away. Also, you could say she left her old habits, right? We know that habit is not easy to forget. And I'll tell you something about habit. It's spelled H-A-B-I-T. You take away the H, you have a bit. And you take away the A, you have bit. But when you take away the B, you still have it. And so, habit is not easy to get rid of. But this woman, she left her old habits. She left, and now she has something new and powerful, and she's able to go to the men in the city. I said, come. But brethren, let's think of how, you know, intense this must have been. How sincere this must have been for her to say, this is a woman who had no character. And she said to the men, come see a man who told me all I did. So appealing that they went out and follow her to see this man that she's talking about. We will go a little further than that. But she left her old part apart and she is now having a new container. This is now springing up into everlasting life. And she went and she said, come see a man who told me all that I did. Well, I am introducing Jesus to us, not who does not only tell us all that we have done, but he will forgive us for all that we did. Beyond what that. Not just tell us everything, but he forgive us for everything. What a mighty God we serve in the person of our Lord Jesus. And come see a man, verse 29, that told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciple urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. You see, the natural will always try to get into the way of the spiritual. The disciple came and they saw him talking to the woman. They didn't say anything. But now, they are now saying to him. Could it be that if the disciple was there, this conversation would never go on? But Jesus, as I said, liked to have that oneness sometimes with us. And I heard Brother Viv Johns also said one time, there are times, and I didn't know that there was somebody like myself, who you go on your knee and you don't even know what to say to the Lord. And all you have to say to him is, Lord, you speak to me. You know best. You know everything. Speak to me. You will never get above your knee and he doesn't give you something. And so he speaks. So the woman said, come see a man that told me all that I did. Is not this the Christ? But in that meantime, the disciple was there and he's now saying to them, the disciple saying to him, Master, eat. Jesus, in verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And so, Jesus knew the reason why he came to do a work for God. And so, he would speak about sowing seed, as it were, and growing as we look at these other few verses. Because that's what the woman did. But let's think a little about the woman as well. She was not with Jesus 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years like some of us are. She had just met the Lord Jesus. And she had a testimony that she called people to come. Jesus called each and every one of us to be disciples for him. This woman did not wait it. She went right out. I received something. Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, I want to give it. I want to share it. And this woman is saying, well, I got something from Jesus. I want to share it. She went and shared it with those she was more comfortable to talk to because she was able to talk to the men of the city. And when we reach verse 39, and it said, and many of the Samaritans of the city believe in him because of the words of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritan had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own words. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. It says that in verse 39, that many of the Samaritans believed in him because of this woman. You know, there are a lot of times, brethren, we intend to qualify people who is able to cross the T and dot the I's. We want to qualify those who know scriptures, you know, from Genesis to Revelation and can quote it. But this is not how Jesus looked at it. And this is not how the woman saw it either. Because Jesus does not call those who are qualified, but he will always qualify those who he calls. And so he called this woman, and she went She had something new. She didn't need her old law to fight. She had something new and she was able to share it. Are we willing to share what we have been carrying around all these years? You know, old brother told me some time ago, he said, you know, brethren really study the Bible and they have a lot of knowledge about scripture, but they keep very good secret. We don't really share it. We need to share what we have, what he has given us. And each one of us are qualified because he will make us qualified to speak. And a couple of Sundays ago in Sunday school at Fort Lauderdale, we were trying to find ways in which we can spread the gospel to the unsaved. And I would tell him, I said, I remember when we used to pay a lot of bills. And my wife would always put a Bible tract in each one of those envelopes when we send them out. We didn't pay online. We pay in envelopes. And I said to her one day, I said, dear, why do you worry to put the tract? They're not going to read it. She said, oh, don't they put a lot of pamphlet in the envelope when they send it? They expect you to read it. So I'm just putting in it there and hoping that they will read it. No one has ever called us back, but we are still hoping that all this, that the Lord will use it for the honor and the glory of his name. So there are different ways in which we can outreach with the gospel. This woman come and said, come see a man. He told me all I did. It's not this the Christ. But I can just imagine the excitement in her voice. Many times, sometimes when we talk about Jesus, we talk as if we don't know him. Or that he's not real. You understand? This woman must have made it real, real. Come, see a man who told me all I did. And they were convinced. You and I does not see it, brethren. But it's our duty to sow seeds. Just telling you about habits. I remember in the 70s, there was a baptism at Great Bay. And one of the men who went down, when he got up, he did like this, and two things went up in the air, and you could see it was a box of matches and a pack of cigarettes. And not very long ago, I said to him, I said, I remember when you got baptized, you throw those match and cigarette. He said, well, I look at matches because I use it to light my lamp, but I've never turned back to any cigarette. And it put me in the mind of that woman. She left her water pot. Brethren, we need to leave our water pot so that we can run with what we have. Let us think of Peter. Peter knew that the Lord Jesus was crucified. He was there when they nailed him. Peter saw him raised from the dead. He talked to Peter. And yet Peter said, I'm going to go fishing. You remember that? Peter and Andrew is the two disciples that Jesus called and said, come and I'll make you fishers of men. But what Peter said, still remember the old trade, he said, although he knew that Jesus had raised and everything, he said, I'm going to go fishing. And you know, it was catching because it was majority of them went to go fishing. And what happened? They toiled all night, but they caught nothing. See, there's always a lesson for us to learn. And so maybe we are toiling and our own because we still does not get rid of the old habits. Are we turning back to them? So the apostle in Hebrews would say, let us lay aside the weights, which is habits, right? Lay aside the weights and the sin that's so easy to ensnare us so that we can run the race that is set before us. What is holding us back, brethren, from running? What is causing the drought in the assembly? Is it that we are drawing from the wrong well? We are not drawing from his well, the well of everlasting life. Or I had a spring, but it is now blocked up. Does that give you a practical experience? There was a fierce basin in my house, and everywhere else the water is running out, but there is none going out of this one. And we tried everything. Drano, two big bottles of it. Gone, nothing happened. Adios, my snake, nothing happened. Talked to a guy, and he said, man, I don't know, I think you're going to have to walk out in the closet to get beer. And so I had to cut out in my closet to get to the pipe that goes down through the wall where it's blocked. Would you believe me that where it blocked, it wasn't even 3 inches from where it's supposed to go down. That's where it blocked. And I'm wondering if many times in our spiritual life there's a spiritual block. And we need God to just snake it away. You know, just allow him to move it. The moment I did that, boom, it was running, and I said, man, all that work, cut out all the sheetrock. Now I've got to put it back. And all that. But the Lord Jesus is willing to do all that work for us. Come see a man who will not only tell me all I did, but he will forgive me of all that I have done. And so, brethren, as we contemplate this woman who was, according to society, she was put away. She was no good. The Lord Jesus took her up, and today we are talking about her, out of the house of shame into the hall of fame. And that's what Jesus has done for us, you know, all of us. We all was in the mire. And we all smell of the mud. But Jesus cleaned us up through his blood. And he has given us a song. He has given us a message. And I need to take it. You know, when you get a message, you want to bring it as clear as you can. I think this is a very clear message that the Lord has given to us and says that I have given you the message to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. Now, we might not be able to preach per se, but we all have different ways in which we can do. Brother Luke was just saying it not long ago. We can invite our children, grandchildren, our friends, our neighbors to come to the VBS. This is preaching the gospel. This is sowing the seed. You know, when it comes to seed sowing, and I am amazed. You plant one little seed of melon. And in my area where I'm from in Jamaica, we get melon weigh up to 40 and 50 pounds. As a matter of fact, I know somebody lived near to where Angie's from, had one melon weigh 80 pounds from one seed. Big old humongous thing. Someone went and stole the melon. And when I talked to him, he said, man, I cut a little piece, a slice of it, I'm a belly full, I couldn't do it. And that's the natural man. The devil is always one to steal too, you know, and to rob. But brethren, if we will just hold on to what the Lord has given us and be of service to him, it will surprise you what the Lord is really doing in our lives. So may God help us that as we travel through this scene, that we will not become just hearers of the word, but we will be doers. Jesus could say, and also Paul could reiterate it, he says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. May God help us that we do them for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.